But you see, God knows what needs to be done. I know Mr. Leonard did a great job, Mr. Otis did a great job, and Andrew did a great job. And I appreciate the, all these guys that just filled in and, you know, and preached. And, you know, the more you do it, the more you learn how to do it. That's just like in any, and I hate to say profession, but it is a profession. But the more you do it, the more you learn the anointing and the presence of the Lord, and he helps and he equips. Because all three guys, everyone was different up here.
Yeah.
Every one of them, you know. And you might say, is that good or bad? That's good, because God needs variety. God needs variety to touch different people in different ways. Andrew, you going tomorrow? No. How did it go last week? It went well. There was no riot that I know of. But, I mean, he preached the gospel. He preached what he preached, I think, here on that Sunday. Just, you know, and the power of God was just upon that place. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before we say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. We do want to welcome all Facebook people that are watching. We pray the anointing and the Spirit of God will be upon your life, and we welcome you. And that God will move upon your heart and life. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I know Otis and Marge just got back from seeing Micah, and they got back Friday, so he passed, I guess. He passed. He's still in the military, you know, the basic training and all that, so he passed. And got promoted, and now he's going to be starting the schooling that needs to be done for what he's going into. And so keep praying for him that God would just, you know, be upon his heart and life, and would help him to do what God wants him to do. And so, and I know, Miss Anna, you have your grandson that's going to be going into the Navy, and that's in a couple of weeks. Is that right? He's going to be going to California, and he's going to be playing in the football, on the football team for the Navy.
Wow.
That's Miss Mona's son, her daughter. And what's his name?
Mark.
And so we're proud of him. You know that. Do you know the day that he's going to be leaving?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, but hey, that's great. So be able to go and play for the Navy and learn and be in the military and all that stuff. So praise God. In Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 20. It says, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Here we see the time had come that Mount Sinai was before Moses. And you can read in scriptures before that where it says, and we're going to read it, where the power of Almighty God came down upon Mount Sinai. They had just been delivered, you know, it's Exodus, okay? That's what Exodus means. That's why they named it. They would just come out of the bondage from Egypt for over 400 years. God had, and we know it, miraculously set them free from the bondage of the Egyptians. That's just like our God setting us free from the bondages of the world, the bondages that Satan put upon our lives from the time we were young, you know, till we got saved, the bondages that are there. But you see, there's nothing too difficult that God cannot heal, There's nothing too difficult that God cannot break. God says he can break all bondages that enshackle our hands and our feet, which means talks about our hearts, enshackled us and makes us come into bondage to certain things. That means when you're in bondage to something, that means you are a slave to it. And we're to only be bond servants, or if you want to say slaves, if you want to call it that way, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's all. He wants us to be free from the bondages of sin. He wants us to be free in all those areas that the devil has tried to entangle because of maybe certain things in our lives that happened to us for whatever reasons. But God had brought them out of bondage. And we saw the miracle of how the Passover lamb, when they had to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of the house, and how the death angel would go, and whoever didn't have the blood, the firstborn son would die, of all the animals, of all the sons, would die. And God said, gave them a plan, and he said, Moses, tell the children of Israel, and whoever else that will do it, if they do this, when the death angel comes, which was sent by God, that he would pass over that house and nothing would happen to them. That should make us shout, because we have the blood of Jesus that covers our hearts, that covers our souls, that covers our lives. And Satan cannot do what he wants to do to the children of God, because he has no legal right. Because that legal contract has been broken by the blood of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. They came up out of Egypt 50 days later. 50 days later, God calls Moses to Mount Sinai. You see, man in its sinful state needs some kind of law, if you want to put it that way, to keep mankind on track with God. And God gave to Moses, and we're going to read them, the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel. Because he knew that they could not be out there going into the promised land, going into the desert, and then finding into the promised land with some kind of law that would help them, that would protect them, that would surround them. He knew they needed it. You know, most of us probably here, for the most part, have bought a home. You know, you go in and, you know, you find a home or you have one built. And most of us don't have maybe $200,000 to $300,000 to pay off and buy it, you know, or, you know, with money in our pockets. Or we don't want to use that. So we go and we borrow money from a bank. We put our loan application, we put our names, we put our social security numbers. They want to know how much you make each month, how many bills you have, what goes out. And they're trying to see, as you put in that application, are you worth giving that loan to? And then paying them back plus interest. And most people, for the most part, will probably take it out for 30 years to pay off a home. You know, that's a lot of money when you borrow $200,000 to $250,000 to $300,000. That's a lot of money every month for 30 years. So around at about 10 years or so, you get your footing done well as far as in your finances, and you go and you start and you go to the bank or you go to another bank and you say, look, we want to refinance our home. And when you're doing that, what you want to do is bring down, you already paid about 10 years, you want to bring down the other 20 years so that you don't have to pay another 20 years and hopefully bring down the interest. Maybe you got the loan at 6.5%, but you're trying to get at 4% now because the interest rate is so good. And so you go in and you inquire at that and you get the loan. But let me ask you this. When you get that second mortgage on your home, as far as remortgaging your home, what do they do with that first contract? They tear it up. What, it becomes what? Null and void, doesn't it? It becomes no more good. It's like, it's almost like it never happened before. They take the omen, they shred it, whatever they do, take it, they throw that away, if you want to put it that way. And they take up this new contract, and we have a new contract. Interesting. In the Old Testament, God made a contract or a covenant with his people. He knew they needed laws to follow. And he made a contract with them. Or a covenant. We talk about the old covenant and the new covenant. And God made that old, God had an old covenant, if you want to put it that way, made. And this is some of the things that he brings up. Look in Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse, starting with verse 2. It says, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Interesting. Verse 4. You shall not make unto yourself any graven images or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourselves to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of them who hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And if any you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughters, your manservants, your maidservants, your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number 5. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Number 6, which is verse 13. You shall not kill. Verse 14, which is number 7. You shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, which is number 8. You shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, his maidservants, nor his ox, or his ass, or anything that is in your neighbor. Now, God gave this to Moses. It says in the scriptures, and I'm sorry, Lord, I have a little, we'll work through it. It says that the power of Almighty God came down upon Mount Sinai. And God said, Moses, I want you to come up here. And it says, you can read it in the scriptures, and it says, a lot of the people started and wanted to go around that mountain and go up. And God told Moses, go tell those people not to come up here. That was the old covenant, people. The old covenant was, these are the scriptures, yes, the Ten Commandments, and there were some other promises and commandments in the first 5 books of the Old Testament, which is called the Pentateuch. That's what it's called, the first 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what those promises did was it helped reconcile God back to man a little bit, so that his mercy and his grace could still be upon the people. Because you have to understand, the sin penalty had not been paid for yet. And that was the big difference. The sin penalty that Jesus paid for had not been paid for. And so, when God would look at man, he couldn't see the blood of Jesus over them like he sees us today. That's why in the old covenant or the old contract that he had with mankind, that he could not come and live and abide in man like he does today. All he could do was basically come over man. And the power and the Spirit of God would come over a man or a woman. And the power of God would move. We don't realize how much grace, how much power, how much anointing is upon our lives because of what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. Now, those 10 commandments, you know, you might hear somebody say, well, the Mosaic Law, you'll know now, is the 10 commandments. You might say, why do they call it Mosaic Law? Well, they call that because it was given unto Moses. Okay? Or they call it this also, the 10 commandments, they call it the moral law. Moral law. Which, that's kind of like all, basically in our government, in America, all our moral laws are based upon the 10 commandments. We've gotten away from it a little bit. But it's based upon that. And so the old covenant was an okay covenant, but it's not like what we have today. We don't realize how much freedom and liberty that we have in our God. As that old covenant was given. Now, he gave it to the children of Israel because of his love for them. Because he knew. I mean, look. The first one, my God. Look at the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. Right when they cross over the Red Sea, what do they do? They build a calf. That's a shame. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, the first one you gave, the first one he gave to Moses to give to the people is the one they broke the first and the quickest. Can you imagine as Moses is on the mountaintop of Sinai and God has given him the commandments. He's up there for 40 days. Now, and they're thinking he's dead. You know, they see the thunder, they see the smoke, they see all that, they know God is there, but they think something's wrong. He's not coming back. All of a sudden, God says, you hear the noise? Moses probably said, yeah, I hear some noise. He said, you go down there. And you see what's going on. Can you imagine, people? God had miraculously taken the children of Israel out of Egypt. Miraculously. Brought them through the Red Sea. Brought them to the other side. God brings Moses up to Mount Sinai. Because he said, I need to speak to you. I need to show you some things. I need to give you a covenant. So that we can have a covenant between God and mankind. That he can try to bless them through it. God gives him, as he's given him the Ten Commandments, here they are down on the mountainside, throwing in the gold that God had enriched them with. The possessions that God had given them, the riches that God had given them. Oh, can you imagine? Here they were throwing it towards a golden calf to worship. Because they said, we need something to worship. Something to worship. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My God, can you see the mountain? Can you see the thunder and the lightning? And God did that so that they would see it and hopefully wouldn't turn to the golden calf or have that thing done. And they took off their jewelry. They took off all the things they got from the Egyptians that made them rich, gold, and gave it. And they built this golden calf. And here they are just worshiping the golden calf. You shall have no other gods before God Almighty. No other. No other. No other people. And that's it's a good moral law that we need to keep God first in everything that we do. Don't covet. Don't steal. We have a generation of people that wouldn't even know one of these commandments. Probably. That's why it's so easy to go to the job and take what's not theirs. Ooh. That's why it's so easy to walk through the town of Gato and look and say, well, I can use that bowl. And go in during the night and steal it. It's not a happy situation. You see, but when the word of God comes in and the word of God is preached, it's like, oh, we gotta follow the word and what he says for us to do. But God did away with that old covenant. And you might say, but did he do away the Ten Commandments? No, the Ten Commandments are a great thing. It's a good moral law. You shall not commit adultery. You should not steal, all those things. You know, it's probably been about 15 or 16, 17 years, maybe. Joanne and I, we had a big mirror made. Probably share that with you. A big mirror about 3 or 4 feet by 3 or 4 feet. And we had it etched on there, the Ten Commandments. I mean, it's huge. And so we brought it to the city hall in Kaplan and hung it up. It's still there to this day. What I did was I wrote my name, my address, my phone number on the back. I said, if this thing is ever taken down, I want it. And every time people go past by the city hall in Kaplan, you walk in there, they have a big safe. It used to be a bank, Western Bank. They have a big safe, and that door opens up, and it's right on the side of that. Right on the side of that. And then I remember years ago, I was talking to Linda Horning, which was the mayor at that time. And they had some problems in the city hall where someone was stealing checks. Stealing, getting a check, making it out for X amount of thousands of dollars, and, you know, forging, you know, the name and all that stuff. And I remember Miss Linda Horning told me, she said, I was so mad that that person had did that. She said, when I got in that big meeting, she said, I got up and I said, how could you do that when every day you pass by that Ten Commandments and it would say, do not steal? How could you do that? And I thought, Lord, thank you. You know, I'm not trying to take, but Lord, thank you that there was some kind of, and I'm sure God did try to stop that, you know. But God will not override the will of a person if they want to do something to see it. But you see, now we're not in that old covenant anymore. We're in a new covenant with Christ. A new covenant with Christ. Amen. When Jesus died upon the cross, all the penalties of sin were satisfied. Can you imagine? You see, that's why God couldn't live inside of a person, because of the sin that was there. That's why when we come to God and we become born again, we confess our sins and we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives, and he comes and lives inside of us. And Jesus fulfilled all the things that needed to be fulfilled to complete the law, the old law. You know, there's no person here that can say that they did not mess up in one of these Ten Commandments. And a bunch of others, probably. I mean, let's face it, that's why we needed a Savior. Okay. So God sends his son Jesus. Jesus never stole. He never committed adultery. You know, he looked at his father. He put no other God. He fulfilled every one of those. He did not covet his neighbor's house. He did not bear false witness at all. You know, false witness, let me just kind of share that. You know, false witness is not so much, and it could be going into a courtroom and saying false accusations, but also it could be in your home when you're accusing your neighbor or your friends if you're saying evil against them. Ooh. Say, oh me.
Oh my.
And you're degrading and you're bringing down that person, their integrity. Now, it may be true. It may be true. But we've got to watch. We've got to watch that we do not have that in us. But God made a new covenant with mankind. God had an old covenant with mankind. But there still was division there. And he wanted to be reconciled back to man. Before, it still wasn't. He used the grace of God. He used the power of God to bless God's people as much as he could. But the old covenant wasn't enough. There still was sin that divided man from God. And so when he sent his son Jesus and he lived for 33 and a half years and he died upon that cross, he paid the penalty for sin. And when he did that, he fulfilled all the law of the Old Testament. Everything. He was the only man to ever walk the earth that never committed any sin of any kind, so God could take him and use his blood that he shed upon Calvary's cross and make a new covenant with mankind. And that new covenant is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what he did at Calvary's cross is the blood that brings man back to God and reconciles them. My God! Now, God just doesn't have to come and get over and be over a person for a small amount of time to get the job done. But now God can come in. And we can receive him now as our Lord and our Savior, and he can abide in us now because of the new covenant that God made through Jesus Christ to mankind. We don't realize how blessed we are because of the power and the Almighty God of what he has done for us. The power of God. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 17. Talking about Christ and the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. But it says that Jesus came, did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth, one jot, one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And Jesus fulfilled it all. He did it all. There was nothing left that he couldn't do. I mean, he paid it all. I want you to turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Paid it all, people. Praise God Almighty. Look at verse 22. It says, by so much was Jesus. Now, I won't read the disclaimer in the scripture. It says, proclaims the fact that all of redemption is bound up totally and completely in Christ, and we know that. May a surety or a guarantee of a better testament or a better covenant. Jesus made a better covenant for us. You might say, did Moses have a better covenant than us? Did Noah have a better covenant than us? Didn't Abraham have a better covenant than us? They did. Because of the covenant, the new covenant that God has made with humanity through Jesus Christ, he can be in every church this morning that wants him. He can be in every household throughout the week he wants him. He can be on every job of every man and woman whoever wants him. That's the power of Almighty God. A new covenant with us. You know, it says that a lot of the scriptures, it talks about the new commandments that God has given to the church. And that's to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And also to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the new covenant that God has made with humanity. He's saying, church, love me. I'm going to ask you a question. No, please don't raise your hand. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And that's a question I'm asking myself too. All of us. You might say, well, that's a hard question. Yes, it is. But Christ is looking for a sold-out believer that will love him. He didn't say do things for him. Okay? He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me with everything to think? Are you willing to give up if you have to give up something for my sake? Are you willing to go and speak and do like I want you to? Are you willing to shake the hand of a down and out person and share the love of God with you? Are you willing to love your neighbor as he says? It's an amazing thing. You know, I was talking to this guy who was talking about you know, some people don't like to be corrected. I don't mind. Hey, look, if something I said or didn't, look, please let me know. And here we are driving, planning, well, in the back, in the front. He said something like, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. I said, yeah. I thought you were already wrong there. But that's okay. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, the greatest one is self-control. I said, well, Let me tell you this. I said, there's only one fruit. It's like he. I said, there's only one fruit. But I said, the nine gifts come out, if you want to say it, out of that one fruit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, goodness, temperance. And I said, self-control is not over any of the other ones. I said, it's the Spirit of God that works on the inside of us through that fruit. It's one fruit. It's only one price. It's only one Jesus. And he knows every area in our own personal lives what we need to grow in us. And you know, I said, hey, honestly, you know, that Corinthians chapter 16 or 13, is it? Say, you know, love, hope, and faith, the greatest is love, you know. But I mean, he was like, okay, you know. So I said, it's one fruit, and I said, we can't determine, you know, how it's going to grow. And I know what he was getting at. He was trying to control himself. And I thought to myself, Lord, you can't control yourself. Because I said, you're going to get out of hand. Because that's it. And I was thinking in my mind, that sin nature is going to control you. I said, you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And the Spirit of God will work miraculously in us. And people, look, you can't grow love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You can't grow it on your own. The church has gotten to a place where we think, well, we control it all. And that's why the body of Christ is in the place it's in right now. But God is raising up a generation of people that are going to rely upon what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary and rely upon what God has done to bring victory in every aspect, in every part of our lives. That new covenant that God made is miraculous, people. It's because of Jesus Christ that has brought mankind and God back into fellowship because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. He brought us back together. The new covenant, a new one, that he fulfilled it all as the scriptures read. Everything. There was no one else that could do it. He did it. And when it was done, God says, okay, a new covenant, I will place within my people. And let me tell you, now Jesus lives inside of us. Now we have the Spirit of God moving inside of us. Now we have the anointing and the power of God moving through us. Now we can go and we can preach the gospel, each and every one of us. I said, preach the gospel. Every time you tell somebody about the Lord, every time you share a scripture, every time you speak something about Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, you're preaching the gospel. Every time, you know, now we can all go and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not just certain sect of people. We can all pray in faith and believe God for the miraculous. That's the power, the new covenant that we have in Christ, people. The Old Testament couldn't do that. Even in the New Testament, the first five books of the New Testament, the Synoptic Gospels, they call it. Wow, that's what they call it. Even at the pool of Bethesda, the angel had to come and stir up the waters. And the first one to get in was healed. Then it would stop. All these people that were crippled and blind and all kind of ailments had to surround that pool of Bethesda. They had to watch and wait because the angel didn't come and stir it every day. It came when the Spirit of God said to go. But when he stirred up the first one, it would be healed. We don't have to do that today. God says, call upon me. God says, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Anoint and they shall be healed. The power of Almighty and different covenant people. We're all led by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, lives inside of the new covenant that we can rely upon him and look to him that he can give us the inspiration. He can give us the life that we need to go on and do what's right. How many times has God spoken to you? I know many times, people. How many times you've been just walking through the store or on your job and the Spirit of God drops something in your heart? That's the Spirit of God. How many times you've been in bed and you turn over and you maybe had a dream and the Spirit of God says, that's from me. Ooh. How many times you've been cooking and the Spirit of God starts to stir your heart about something? Oh, my Lord. You let the Spirit of God lead and guide you, people. We're not stalemate people. We're not a people that God can't move through. We're not stiff-necked at all. The power of Almighty God wants to move. At whatever you're doing, tune up your spirit to the Spirit of God. You might say, Pastor, how do I do that? Just tell him, Lord, tune my spirit unto you, Lord God. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit, Lord. Because, Lord, I don't know what you want to do through me and in me today, but help me. Help me. Help me. How many times have we been in a place where we didn't know what to do as far as decision making? We have to call upon him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But Father, show me what to do. I remember a story of, I had just started going to school as far as college, and I had wrecked my truck. You know, you didn't stop at a stop sign, so you know, obviously if something's coming this way, you're going to hit something. And so, you know, financially, Jelaine and I, it wasn't the best of situations. You know how that is. You know, I mean, you know, some days are better than other days. Some years might be lean, some years might be plenty, but you thank God for what you have. And I remember, you know, they towed the truck, you know, to a place, and I said, Jelaine, I don't know what we should do. Should we have it? Do you have insurance? Should you have it fixed? Or should you take the money and go buy something else? And you know when you're not sure? You're just like, Lord, I don't know. But Father, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. And I remember that Sunday, Jelaine and I went to church. And during the altar call part, you know, praying, I went up and I had someone pray. And I said, you know, I need to know what to do. And all of a sudden, as they were praying, I knew. Boom. When I got back to my seat, Jelaine, you too. The Spirit of God had spoke to both of us. And we knew exactly, and it was something that we hadn't thought of. How God miraculously told us, you know, what to do with that money, where to put it, what to take, and what to buy. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You see, we need to rely upon him because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know sometimes some decisions are hard to make, people. I know it. But I tell you what, we serve a God that is moving in us and through us. We serve a God that is ready to give all he has for us, which he has already, his son. How much more can he give us? He's ready to give us the inspiration and the insight into his word. He's ready to do what he needs to do to raise us up to be mighty men and women of God. Whatever it takes, people. Surrender to him. Surrender to the call of Calvary. Surrender to the call of Jesus. And let him do what he needs to do in our hearts and in our lives. Look, we have a better covenant than what Moses had and Adam had. They're not even sure if Adam and Eve made it to heaven, people. You might say, why not? Because they stopped the sacrifices they were supposed to make. They stopped doing it. God had made them sacrifice. They were supposed to do sacrifices that would cover their sins. There's no record that they kept doing it. I hope they made it. I don't know. It's amazing, though, that all of our fathers and our would not be there. There's no, we don't know. Don't know. I know that's kind of shocking. I know. But they, well, yeah, didn't God make? Yes, God made all of us. You know, okay. And there's no record of that in the history books that they kept the sacrifices going to cover their sins so God can bless them and use them. And if your eyes are not, that's just like if you don't get to church on Sunday mornings. Going to start to sway. So we can't be so hard on that. you know, I was so anxious to preach this morning, I could have ran up here. It's true. It's true. Just to preach the gospel, people, because I love you guys. And I know God is moving in your heart and life. And I tell you what, it's a bar note from the message. Jelaine and I appreciate you guys more than what you'll ever know. Ever know. We appreciate you. We thank God for your love. You're precious to us, to our hearts. And we appreciate all that you do and all that you say and all that you give and all that, everything. So keep Jesus first. Remember, you have a better covenant. Let me tell you, it's an amazing thing what God wants to do in you and through you. And why don't you stand, please? Praise God, praise God. As every head is bowed, if you all mind, every eye closed for just a minute. I want to ask you a very important question. And also on Facebook, here if you're watching, I want to ask you an important question too. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? Have you accepted him into your heart and life and you're living for him this day forward? If you're saying, Pastor, I've never done that, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you so that you can receive Jesus as your Savior? And it looks like everyone here has made that decision. Let's pray the prayer together because we don't know who's watching that may be in that decision. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Okay, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.